If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Ruth. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. I'm going to be trying to kind of give you guys an idea of what the book of Ruth is about this morning. We're going to cover various parts of the book of Ruth. The story of Ruth is one of the best short stories of the Bible. Benjamin Franklin was one who read the story of Ruth to a group of men who sought out and would read literary masterpieces. These guys would get together on a regular basis and they would come with collections, works that they considered great works, great writings. Benjamin Franklin read them the book of Ruth, but he changed the names so that they wouldn't have an idea that it was from the Bible. When he finished, the men wanted to know where he found such a delightful, remarkable story. Franklin was happy to tell them that it was from the Bible, which they had previously stated wasn't worth reading. Every part of the Bible has value, and the book of Ruth is such a short story, but there's so much packed within it, so many things packed within it, that it's very valuable, even to our study and even to our day and age. In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. In the days when the judges ruled, and so Joshua judges Ruth, this book falls right after the period of the judges, but the actual timeline happens when the judges are helping to rule the nation of Israel. And in the book of Judges, it says this: whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, for the nation of Israel, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. And so what would happen is, the people would not follow God, and God would remove his hand from them, and other nations would come in and just take over, and they wouldn't have any food. But when a judge was there and was ruling, God would actually put his hand back over and protect Israel from the nations around it, because they were following after God. It says, "For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways." And so if you read through the book of Judges, you see this roller coaster ride of a judge being brought to power, then following God, and then the judge dies and they tank. And then a judge happens and they follow God, and then the judge dies and they tank again. And so I believe the book of Ruth was probably written during one of those times when the judge had died and God had removed his hand of protection from the nation, and all of these other nations were coming in and taking over Israel. I think of Gideon. I've done a lot of study about Gideon, and they can't make ends meet. They don't have any money. And so they begin to travel, and they travel from Bethlehem and they go to Moab. We find out the man's name is Elimelech, and his wife's name is Naomi. to Moab, and later in the book we find out they have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon and Chilion are old enough that they marry two Moabite women, one whose name is Orpah and one whose name is Ruth. So Mahlon and Chilion marry these two women, but the Bible tells us that Elimelech died. We don't know why he died. It could have just been he was old age, but he passed away. And so Naomi is then dealing with the loss of her husband. The Bible tells us that 10 years later, she loses both of her sons, Mahlon and Chilion, as well. So here is this woman, Naomi, in a strange country. She's lost all of her close family, and all that's left are her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Naomi decides that she needs to go back to her country. She needs to be surrounded by those that she knows. And so she begins this travel, this trek back to Bethlehem. And her daughters-in-law decide to go with her, but Naomi says, "Why would you go with me? You don't know anybody there. Turn back and go to your own family." Orpah does turn around and go back to her own family, but Ruth actually sticks by Naomi. There's one main theme throughout the book that just interweaves through every chapter, and that is God is our provider during times of tragedy. There's one main point today, and that is that God is our provider during times of tragedy. See, Naomi has lost all of her close family. Naomi had lost her husband. Naomi had lost her two sons, and she wasn't living in a country where she was surrounded by people she knew. She wasn't surrounded by people that she loved, and so she was struggling with grief. She was struggling with this tragedy that had happened. Death has been a part of our lives ever since the fall, and any death is a tragedy. I mean, death is a tragedy because death wasn't supposed to happen. Death wasn't a part of what life was supposed to look like. And so death is a tragedy, and death hurts, and Naomi is struggling with that. Naomi is struggling with all this pain that she's feeling because she's lost everything.
As I was studying this, I couldn't help but think that Ruth was a lot like Job.
In the book of Job, we find that Job loses everything. A lot of the same stuff happens to Naomi as well. She loses everything.
But God is our provider during times of tragedy. So how could God provide?
When you're going through tragedy, how could God provide for you? What are some things that he might do? The book of Ruth is going to give us some examples, but these aren't an exhaustive list of things that God will do. These are the things that he did for Ruth and for Naomi as they were struggling through this grief. It might look different for you as you go through a struggle or a tragedy in your life. God might provide in a different way, but remember that God is our provider during whatever time you're going through in life.
The first thing comes from Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. And this is that time when Naomi is traveling and Ruth wants to go with her. But Naomi says, "No, you should turn around and go to your family." And this is Ruth's response in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth says this, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you.' And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more." So how could God provide for someone who's going through this tragedy? The first thing is companionship. Ruth is as well, her husband died. She was experiencing some of the same feelings that Naomi was experiencing. And so they were bonding together. And Ruth said, "Don't send me away. I don't want to leave you. May it be that death would be the only thing together. Throughout the whole book, Ruth is loyal to Naomi, and Ruth isn't just interested in trying to solve things for herself, but throughout the book, she's following things that Naomi tells her she should do, and so she's really honoring Naomi and throughout all of the book. Sometimes we're going through difficult times in our lives, and we feel like it's something that a loss. And the fact is that sometimes God provides people in our lives that can help us with those things. I remember when I was young, I was 8 years old, and my grandfather passed away. It wasn't long after that, my grandmother passed away as well. They both died of the same kind of cancer. And being 8 years old, I didn't know how to handle those emotions. And so I remember sitting loss or experience loss in our own lives, we don't know how to process that. We don't know what to do with it. God sometimes provides somebody that's been there before to help you go through it. Maybe it's been a person that has experienced some of those same emotions. Maybe it's a person that's been down that path before. They've gone through it. Ruth and Naomi. Naomi lost her husband, and then 10 years later, Ruth lost her husband. There was some wisdom there from Naomi to help Ruth, and I think Ruth could see that. Ruth could see the value of companionship with Naomi. I remember when I was in college, struggles and trials in our lives. The point is, you don't have to go through these things alone. A lot of times we say, well, there are my feelings, and it's my grief, and I need to go through this, but you don't have to do it alone. There's a lot of people in this church. Some of us have been through the same thing as others. There's wisdom that can come from those older than you, and sometimes there's wisdom that can come from those younger as you as well. So companionship, you don't have to go through it alone. How could God provide through times of trouble? One way that God provides for Naomi and Ruth is through companionship. The second way comes from chapter 2, verses 8 through 23. Chapter 2, verses 8 through 23, and at this point, Ruth and Naomi are living in Bethlehem, but they have nothing. They've traveled back here, and they have some land, but they haven't put any crops or anything on it, and so they need food. And one of the ways that they can get food is for God to provide, and this is how God is providing for them. Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 23. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said,
mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied. And she even had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness is not forsaking the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth, the Moabite, said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. What is another way that God could provide during tragedy? Basic needs. See, for Ruth and Naomi, they didn't have much of anything. They hadn't planted, their husbands weren't there to plant and provide for them. One of the basic needs, one of the necessities of life is food. They needed food, and God had actually made a provision in his law for widows, orphans, and sojourners, the foreigners in the land. And Deuteronomy 24 says this: "When you reap your harvest in your field, and you forget a sheep in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." God had made this little stipulation in his law that there would be this way for the widow and the orphan and the sojourner to find food. And they said, don't pick everything. There's another part that talks about not picking to every corner of the field to leave the grain for people who might need it. Boaz goes a step beyond that. Boaz tells his people, his harvesters, "As you're harvesting, leave some. Be specific and go in and leave some for Ruth. Not only that, but as you're harvesting, you can drop some too. That's okay. You can just leave some there for Ruth." And so Ruth comes home to her mother-in-law, and she has this huge amount of money. Like, "Where did you get this? Where did this come from?" Because it's not normal for somebody to have that much. See, God was providing for their basic needs. It wasn't just enough for their food. They need to have a living view. They need to have money to get things. And so the barley that she harvested was enough for them. Would be enough for them to stock up for winter time. And she was continually going day after day to help harvest the barley. The Bible says it was also through the time of harvesting wheat. And so she would be collecting it in and stockpiling for winter. But not only that, enough for them to make breads and other goods to sell at the marketplace. And so God is providing for their basic needs. But you see, Boaz, sometimes God provides for us in our need that we don't always recognize it's his provision because it's coming through others as well. You as a church, I've seen you do such great things for people who are going through struggles or tragedy in their lives. One of the ways I see you as a church doing things, men and women who make meals and bring them to people who have needs so that they don't have to worry about cooking food, so they don't have to worry about spending time or spending energy at going grocery shopping. It's not something that's first on their mind. And when you're going through a struggle or a tragedy, you might forget to eat. And so to have somebody bring me food instead, 40
Boaz did that because of the loyalty he'd heard that Ruth had to Naomi. Maybe you don't know what to do when you hear somebody going through a tragedy. One of the things I've heard people say most often, what meant the most to them, was when people would just do something. When they noticed a need and they would just do it. Maybe it's food, or maybe they saw this person going through something. See their launch call, so I'm just going to go over and go over. Whatever it is, they would just take care of that need. They would just be a blessing to that person, and they would just take care of something that they saw going on. A lot of times a person going through a tragedy doesn't even recognize all the things they need. You ask them, what can I do for you? And they won't be able to tell you. But there are things, if it's a spouse that's died, that the spouse would have always taken care for. Maybe it was paying the bill. Maybe it was mowing the lawn. Maybe it was doing the cooking and the cleaning. But they don't even know where to go from here because they lost that loved one. They lost that person they cared for, and they kind of have to reinvent the life now that they live. So things are all changing and are different. But God provides through times of tragedy. He provides companionship. He provides basic needs. The third thing God provides to Ruth and Naomi is found in chapter 3, right where we left off reading, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, who are you? And she said, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. And he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. This might be a little hard for us to understand in our culture and our context. She would get all dressed up and then go lay at his feet. It sounds like kind of a weird practice. But this was basically Ruth going and asking Boaz to marry her, to become her redeemer. See, in the Old Testament, there was a way that if a woman was left without a husband, there was no one to carry on their name if she hadn't had any children. So they had no sons. As Dad was talking about this morning, being born a man to carry on the family name was a big deal in the Old Testament. It was a big deal for them, and so they didn't have any. Naomi even said to Ruth at one point, am I someone who's going to be able to have another son? You would marry him? Go back to where you live. But Ruth said, no, I'm going to go with you. But it was a big deal to have a son that would take over the property. That would help take care of their mother as they got old, and help take care of their wives and all this stuff. The man was the one who brought in the income. They didn't have anything. But God provided, again, a way for people to be taken care of. And this way, sometimes there's a relative that could come and redeem the situation. They'd come and take over and would actually marry them, and then would provide an heir, not for himself, but for their line. That eventually he would take over the land. So this was a big cost to whoever would do it. Because he would actually pay for the property, he would buy the property, marry the woman, and then his heirs would never get anything out of it. His family would never get anything out of it. It would be through her line, through her son would get that property. So it was actually a big cost to the person. But Naomi has this plan. She says, Boaz has been really good to you.
You should get yourself all dusted up, is basically what she said. Put on your nice dress, put on some perfume, and go lay at his feet. And Ruth said, everything you say, I'm going to do.
And Boaz,
he eats and he drinks and he goes to sleep, and all of a sudden he wakes up and there's this woman there. At his feet, there's this woman laying at his feet. What's going on? You ever had one of those times where you wake up in the middle of the night and something startles you, and all of a sudden you have no idea where you're at? Like, you might even be in your own bed, and you have no idea what's going on in the house. You hear noises, and there's something that happened. That's what happened to Boaz. And all of a sudden, he startled awake with this woman. He said, what, I can imagine how rubbing his eyes in the dark. Who are you? And she tells him, and he says, blessed are you because you've chosen, I'm an old man, you've chosen me to be your redeemer. You've chosen me to help your family. And so Naomi has this plan, but it's a plan that's much bigger. It's a plan that's much bigger than just Naomi's ideas and thoughts. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 16 that the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. Naomi and Ruth were doing what God's word had decreed, the plan that God had, but it was much bigger than that. The Lord was establishing a plan that was much, much greater than that. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, we're given this genealogy of Jesus Christ and how his lineage, and it talks through all these names, and a lot of times you read through genealogies and they just kind of boring. You read all these names that are hard to pronounce. Some of them are recognized from Old Testament stories, but they're hard. And Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, and Solomon, the father of Boaz, by who? Solomon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. This is something Stacy reminded me of this week that we talked about in the past. Who was Rahab? Rahab was the prostitute. Remember we talked about Joshua? They went in, they conquered the land. Joshua and the people marched around Jericho, but first he sent in two spies. Spies were hidden by Rahab the prostitute. They said, God's going to bless you. God will save you. You will not die with the rest of the nation. You and your family hang out this scarf out the window and you will be saved. Rahab the prostitute was not an Israelite. She was a foreigner in the land. She married.
So would Boaz know something about foreign ways? Would Boaz know something about God redeeming someone who is not part of the Israelite nation? Absolutely, his mom was that way. And all of a sudden, God brings Ruth into this situation, and Naomi is related. Naomi's husband is related to Boaz, and so he can be the redeemer, and it's beautiful picture of God going outside the nation of Israel, opening up salvation to a Gentile, to someone who is not of the Israelite people. And Solomon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. God has a bigger plan. God has a bigger plan, and sometimes it's hard to trust God. In the things of life, when we're going through struggles, when we're going through tragedy, when we're going through situations, it's hard to trust God. We want to blame God for the things that are happening. And even Ruth does this to some extent. In chapter 1, verse 20, she said to them, do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara. Mara means bitterness. She said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara." Naomi means pleasant. God has a bigger plan. It's greater than anything we can understand sometimes, and that leads me to our last point, that sometimes God's bigger plan will bring us joy after the tragedy. In Ruth chapter 4, Ruth chapter 4, verses 13, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife." Now there's this whole situation that happens in between where there's another redeemer that's closer, and Boaz goes to him, and he says, in front of this council of elders, he says, "Now, there's a situation that's come to my attention. Naomi's going to sell her land, and with that, he's going to come marrying Ruth." The other redeemer said, "I can't do that. I can't afford that. I told you there was a cost involved. I can't afford that." And so he says, "Well, they actually took off their shoe, their sandal at that time, and that's how they made a deal. They would take off their shoe and kind of give it to the other person or something, signifying that deal." And so they made this in front of all these elders, and that's when Boaz said he was going to marry Ruth. And so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, he is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse and the father of David." God's plan is bigger, and it brought Naomi this heir. It brought her joy. And the writer of the book says he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is David's grandfather. David's grandfather. If Jesus is great, I don't know how many greats there is, but there's quite a few of them. God has a bigger plan and brought joy to Naomi. But there was a bigger part of joy. It was a bigger part of God's story that Naomi and Ruth would have never seen. I imagine the story being told over and over and over again when David becomes king about his grandpa. About his lineage, about where he came from. And eventually they wrote it down because it was such a great story of how God provides through times of tragedy. God is always working. God is always providing. God is always active. God is always doing things. We don't always see. Our eyes sometimes are so focused on the here and the now that we don't always see God's bigger picture. We don't always see God's bigger plan. Hannah, who is weeping, crying out to God, "Give me a son," and God hears her. Did she know who Samuel would become? Did she know who he would be and what he would do? She devoted him to God's service. But it was a bigger plan. A bigger part of God's plan. And sometimes when we're going through tragedy, we don't always see that. We don't always see the ways that God will provide for us. We have to take comfort knowing that God is in control, even when our eyes feel like they're out of control. We have to take comfort in knowing that God is in control, even when our lives are in chaos. God is very near. struggle or a time of tragedy in your life, how God always does bigger things, even through times of tragedy and struggle. Would you pray with me?